590 WKZO. The show is called Lawrence and Taylor. So, as you can imagine,
there's a Lawrence and Taylor involved?
Amazingly enough, yes.
Wow. I get it now.
So instead of, well, our real names are Jones and Smith, but we decided, you know what? We're going to go with a more complex look
here.
So.
We're going to stick to a real world, but...
real world. Do we ever do that? Come on.
Well, in our names, at least.
There you go.
Yeah, anyway, we don't have fictitious names.
Of course not. I'm Jeremy Lawrence.
I'm Raj Taylor.
And in the producer's chair this particular time...
Abby.
Abby is over there.
Hi, Abby.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
See, she's ready to take a listen to people calling in whenever they happen to do that. And take all the trouble that we give her because, you know, we plan on doing that over the course of 2 hours.
We already got started with that.
Yeah. We got started early and, you know, we're going to keep it up.
Don't hesitate to call her and say hi. And any time along the way you want to chime in with Jeremy and I, the phone lines are open. Don't wait for an invitation.
There you go.
It's always out there.
It's an open invitation.
Yes.
And in case you're going, well, I'd love to call, but I don't know the number. You won't have that excuse anymore because I'm going to tell you what the number is. It's 382-4280 or... if you're not in the Kalamazoo area and it's long distance for you, we're going to make it easy. Toll free, 877-382-4280. And we have another option, too.
It's second choice because it's more impersonal than actually calling in. Mm-hmm. But if that's what works for you, 80373 is our text number.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch that during the show.
Certainly.
And share pertinent texts.
Of course. Of course. So we'll be doing that. Tell you what, we're going to get to the list of stuff that that we need to hear shortly, but we just heard a few minutes ago, CBS News has got a little bit of breaking news. They said that a report from two friends say that Sid Caesar, one of the guys from the golden age of TV, has passed on. So I'm sure CBS will have some more details on that as it comes. But that's one of those giant names of television. I've enjoyed his stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, you know, and it's funny. The first thing you said, and we used to talk about this in the trifecta, was, oh, there's three. And Philip Seymour Hoffman and
Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple and now Sid Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim McKinney was into the deaths of celebrities always come in threes as well.
No, it's because you always heard that. And I can remember a few years ago when Michael Jackson passed away unexpectedly. Of course, you had Farrah Fawcett and Ed McMahon right at the same time. So, it happens from time to time, and it just kind of makes you scratch your head and go, okay, when you hear one, you go, all right, where's the other two?
Yeah.
There's one, and there's one. And so it's almost like clockwork. I'm not sure what it is.
But, Sid Caesar.
Sid Caesar, one of the
greats. No longer with us, yeah.
And really, we didn't say a lot about Shirley Temple the other day when she had passed on, but also one of the greats, really, in terms of – you know, films and that kind of thing. They've given her credit for taking America through the Depression. And certainly she's done that. And you know, her movies are still quite popular.
Well, and what needed to be said, nobody, in my opinion, could be totally unaware of Shirley Temple Black. And there wasn't, you know, some young people may need to be reminded who Sid Caesar is, but there's virtually nobody that's would be unaware of Shirley Temple Black.
Yeah. Well, and then she's had not only, of course, the acting career, but after that she had the ambassadorial career.
Yeah.
And so she got into doing a couple of stints overseas doing that. So certainly a storied career. And we'll hear, of course, more about Sid Caesar and the coverage of that with CBS News. Coming up, very likely at the bottom of the hour, they're going to be covering that, letting you know about that.
You bet.
Now, getting into some of the other things that we want to talk about today, of course, because Valentine's Day is coming up, we've got a couple of things we want to tell you about. First of all, and Roger, not now, but we will be giving
away. You were holding the tickets.
No,
it just gets me going.
You just get excited about it, but you know what? We're going to do this in a little while. We've got two tickets to Winter's Tale And this, I don't know if you've watched the previews for this. This is one of these, it's kind of hard to describe. It's sort of this love story fantasy kind of thing.
I think that, it sounds perfect for Valentine's Day weekend.
It definitely is. So two tickets. So that way you don't have to take anybody else but your significant other.
Yeah, you don't need any other accompaniment than your sweetheart.
Mm-hmm, certainly. And with that opening on Valentine's Day, conveniently enough on Friday,
yeah,
you could conceivably go take them to the movie and just take in one of those things. You know, all you have to do to complete at that point is dinner, which you could actually have right there at the theater.
Right there. And you'll have a few extra shekels in your pocket to do that mm-hmm. with, because we're sending you to the movie.
There you go.
For free.
There you go. And that's at Celebration Cinema in Portage, a fine place to see a movie. I have done so myself a couple
of
times.
Oh, yeah. Good food, so, adult beverages.
And very comfy chairs, if you're into that.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you know, the whole stadium seating thing and all of that. They got a down pat's great place.
And a romantic movie free. What more could you ask for?
What more could you ask for, indeed? So we're going to give away those tickets a little bit later. Also, in deference to Valentine's Day coming up, the video of the day. I got to tell you about this. This one is a fun one.
Yeah.
It's not, I guess it's not meant to make you laugh, although you might chuckle a little bit in the middle of it.
But you can't help but smile all the way through it.
This was a fun one to, as I searched around today and found this, it was like, oh, this is the one right here. Basically, it's a group of guys, singing guys.
Yes.
That go around, sneak up on unsuspecting women and serenade them.
And give them flowers.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
They hand them a rose as they're serenading them. And it's funny to see that, you know, the women jump because usually they're sneaking up behind them or just surprise them in some way. But then right after that, without fail, there's always a smile. The smile comes. It's like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Well, and one woman begins to. It's
to
like
fan
she,
herself.
She had
yes.
the vapors. Yes.
Getting warm. But you got to check it out. So go to our website, WKZO.com. If you go down to the bottom of the page, below the news and all of that, there is a blog section there, and you'll be able to check it out there. Also, if you're on Facebook, it just got posted here probably about in the last half hour. So you can check it out at our Facebook site. And if you like us already, it showed up in your feed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, what are you doing?
Well,
seriously, you can like us, and then you'll be able to see it and correspond.
This is one you may want to send to your honey on Valentine's Day.
Or better yet, this could be the thing that inspires some sort of creative genius.
Ooh.
So, you know, because I'm all about helping you out here. So,
Nancy, if you're listening, don't expect the singing part.
Ah, that would be a little frightening coming from you. But anyway,
yes.
So check it out for yourself. The video is quite good. It always is good.
Yes.
But this one was definitely a fun one. It's the kind of thing where I go, man, I wish I would have come up with that one when I was younger.
Well, you're correct. I didn't laugh out loud at any time during it, but I had a grin on my face during the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun.
Check it out. Just to see the reactions.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, I can tell already Abby's going to be like, hey, what show? I'm watching. So,
have you checked it out yet?
A little bit, as you were watching it earlier.
Oh, well, watch the whole thing. Not on my computer. Never mind.
I don't plan on watching it on your computer, Roger. You're okay.
We just have to clarify.
Yes.
All right. But lots of things to talk about today. Clarence Thomas, he doesn't come out and talk a lot, as most of the Supreme Court justices don't. But when they do, whenever they happen to say something, it does get some attention, and he's had some attention-getting comments that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the program. Also, speaking of getting attention, Rand Paul.
He's been pretty good at that lately.
That's all you have to say is Rand Paul, because he's getting attention, isn't he? He said several things over the last few days, and I think it's high time that we go through and parse some of those things out. So we're going to be chatting about that he's talking about from everything from the Fourth Amendment to the NSA to the state of Texas.
He's been a busy guy here lately.
He really has. He actually spent, I think it was several months ago, spent some time in Detroit.
Yes.
So he was opening a political office there for the Republican Party. So interesting things. And you kind of wonder, is he running for president or not? We'll chat about that here in a little while. But one of the things that we like to talk about, as we're one to do around here, we love talking about roads, not only because we love to drive places in our uninspiring cube of a vehicle.
Yes.
And not only yourself, but myself as well.
I
drive a big gray box, but
yes,
anyway.
I drive a little white box.
There you go. But also, we've talked about roads, road repair, Michigan roads, things like that. Well, lawmakers are looking at what's the best way to pay for road repairs. Certainly with the winter, there's been plenty of potholes.
We ain't seen nothing yet.
I know there's one intersection that I go through every day that's like, yep, there's a couple of them. Okay. So, I mean, it's there. You see that. And lawmakers are trying to say, all right, what do we need to do to make this work? They're trying to decide, all right, should we just give money to local road commissions, or are there other things we need to do? And the governor has weighed in saying that he still would like to see about $1 billion to do some major road repair projects on the road throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has come of it yet, but they're certainly talking about it.
Was that $1 billion a year or a one-time $1 billion when he brought that up?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up, but I remember him bringing it up.
Yeah. But there's certainly stuff to do out there on our roads. Mm. And I understand what the legislature's talking about. It's not just our major trunk lines that are not as good as they once were. I didn't use the word falling to ruin. That caused problems the other day. But it isn't just the state highways or the highways the state maintains, I-94, mm-hmm. US 131, M-43 as examples. But local roads are mm-hmm. also not in the best of conditions. And here recently, this study didn't focus on Michigan specifically, but the U.S. roads get a D+ from the civil engineers of the United States. And so the state is now looking for ways to begin to catch up on this deferred maintenance.
Now, I know Governor Snyder, and I'm just looking up, trying to look up the information that we were talking about. I know he's proposed a one-time bump. That's not the $1 billion. That was significantly less than that. It's $254 million. That's part of the, I believe it's part of the budget that he's talked about.
Yeah.
But he's also talking about some other funding as well.
Oh, absolutely. But that comes from the surplus that we have this year, mm-hmm. that one-time bump, that's mm-hmm. the source for it.
So in terms of roads, obviously there are some that need some fixing, that need some attention. But how do you think the state needs to look at it? I mean, there's certainly different ideas. I think one thing that lawmakers have talked about as they've looked at roads, they're saying, you know what, we do realize this, talking with people in our districts, that people don't want to see a tax increase to make this happen.
Well, you know, I did a little research on that, mm-hmm. and the Michigan Environmental Council did a study. I don't know the specific date, but it's copyrighted 2014, so okay. It's got to be fairly current. And in that, 62% of the state were willing to pay $10 a month or more to fix Michigan's transportation system.
Okay. They did a survey of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The poll was actually done by, it's up here at the top someplace. I'm not seeing it right now.
Okay.
Give me a minute. It's in this article.
In the meantime, I did find the Free Press has got a figure from Governor Snyder. He's actually talked about $1 billion per year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So that's part of what he's talked about with road funding and that kind of thing. It's not a one-time thing, but it is an annual thing. So,
and we've got that kind of problem with our roads, where I don't think the man is out in left field thinking we need to be putting $1 billion a year into our infrastructure. We got some work to do out there.
I think the biggest thing, though, and, you know, the other thing you talk about, yeah, people are willing to pay extra in taxes, that kind of thing, but tax increases are not something that's usually a good idea to do in a bad economy. And we're in one of those right now. To be able to say, all right, well, more taxes, that tends to make people go, well, I don't like that. I'm going to have less money to spend. It's going to be a little bit more of a stretch for them, that kind of thing. So I think the ultimate question is, until you get to a point where the economy is good enough, people have got the extra excess or whatever it is, and you can have that as part of the discussion, where does the money come from? And, you know, you can say, well, we've had some excess this year in the budget. But from past discussions we've had with lawmakers, there is a good portion of that that are one-time funds. So even if we took everything we had in this surplus this year and pumped it in there, that only solves it for a year. Then what do you do after that? Where do you go to get some of that excess money? What kind of cuts do you make? What do you do? I mean, that's the question that I ask, and I don't know the answer to it.
Well, and before we get to Andy, we've got a call waiting. We have potentially a chicken and an egg situation. Does a company want to move a new operation to a state that has as big a backlog in road maintenance? Having an infrastructure to support a new business operation is important to getting businesses to locate here. And so perhaps there has to be some sort of middle ground, finding some new tax dollars and finding some ways to do this more efficiently.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Right now, let's get to the phones. Andy is on the line. Andy, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Another great show. I appreciate you guys. You know what? I think we need to even ask the bigger question. Where's technology going, and where can we invest in to when we go to put these roads in? We're not going to be spending $1 billion a year on maintenance. We've really got to come up with another idea in terms of how to build these things. Let's go to the Autobahn for a second over in Germany. You know, I don't know if you've read the specs on the Autobahn, but it's absolutely insane compared to how we build our roads here.
Mm-hmm.
I would think we need to take a little more proactive approach and put a lot more money up front into new construction. And, you know, those one and done thing rings, you know, rings loud and clear here. We got to stop putting band-aids on this stuff and quit doing it the same way we've always done it for the last 40, 50, 60 years.
Yeah. The Autobahn would be a good example. But the downside to that, Andy, is the cost of building the Autobahn per mile is huge. And that just really increases the backlog of work we have if we double the cost of rebuilding the roads that are deteriorating.
Right. Yep. I certainly understand that. It would certainly be an operation that would be phased in over a 50, 60 years. I mean, it's nothing we're going to do. You know, the problem is much bigger than our pocketbook right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, it's it took us a long time to get bad. It's going to take us a long time to get good. So it's, you know, I think we need to look at a solution over the next 30 to 50 years as opposed to what can we do to fix it all right now.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your thoughts, Andy. That's certainly something to think about.
Okay, we move on from Andy to Ken, who's on the line. Ken, welcome.
Thank you. I kind of agree with the last caller that we have to come up with a different idea of how to make the roads or make these companies that are building these roads a little more accountable for the turnout of the roads. For example, we just rebuilt I-94 over by Pawpaw, and that road is terrible. it's a brand new road, but yet it's like a washboard. It's bumpy and chattery.
Yeah. Is that because of the amount of traffic that I-94 is carrying, or do you think the road was built or designed incorrectly?
It was built incorrectly because it was like that from the day one of the first car that went down that road. It was like that. And I travel I-94 quite a bit, truck driver.
McCann, I appreciate it. We're up against a break right now, but thanks for your call today. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Program continues. Named Lawrence and Taylor on 590 WKZO. The program continues. Of course, we're going to be talking about roads for a little while longer. If you have any observations once we get through news, coming up here in just a minute or so, you'll be able to share them with us. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or you can text us.
80373. And going along with what Andy said, part of this study I quoted earlier, more than 90% of the population believe that we should do a better job at fixing our roads and bridges. And so maybe Andy's onto something there, that we've got to quit building these replaceable roads and build some permanent things.
The big question is, where does the money come from? And I think that's the thing lawmakers are wrestling with the whole way. We'll continue our discussion of that, and we've got more discussions. Rand Paul and so much more we're going to talk about here on Lawrence and Taylor on 590 WKZO. Stay with us. So I'm seeing the rhythm on two of the three sides of the table here. You look like you have rhythm, Abby. I don't know.
I do, but I wasn't bouncing to that song.
You looked like you were bouncing, so.
I was looking at Roger.
Oh, okay. Which makes you bounce naturally, I guess.
I was bouncing.
were getting into it, Roger.
I was head bopping.
Roger was bouncing, and you were bouncing towards the door. I don't want to watch that.
I haven't demonstrated my prowess at air guitar yet, but I will as the afternoon wears on.
That'll be a sight to see.
There's something for you to look forward to, young lady.
And something that listeners can be happy that they're listening on a black and white radio at this point. But, it's Lawrence and Taylor. If you haven't figured it out by now, I'm Lawrence East Taylor, and we're on WKZO. Now, lots of stuff we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Roads is the thing that we have been talking about.
Yep.
Because that's the other thing, too, is we've talked about this. Obviously, it's going to take some cash.
Yes.
But how do you come up with it? What do you do? And what do you do with the cash when you start working on these roads? Because, as you pointed out, the roads were not built with this idea of, you know what, this thing is going to last for 100, 200 years before we have to really do anything. So, that wasn't done necessarily. So how do you take care of all of that? This is the batch of problems lawmakers are dealing with right now.
Yeah. They've got to deal with the theoretical. Mm-hmm. How do we want to build our infrastructure in this country? Mm-hmm. And then they got to figure out how to pay for it, too.
Well, and the other part of it is the whole idea of looking in your crystal ball and going, what's transportation going to be like 50 years from now?
Yeah.
What are people going to be doing? Will they continue to be driving? Will the car do the driving for them? Mm-hmm. That's certainly happening in some circles. The other part of it, public transportation. We're going to see more rail travel and that kind of thing. Who knows? These are all the things that, that's why they get elected to these positions, so they get to answer the tough questions. We just get to chat about it.
Yeah, the easy part.
Which we're going to do with Denny right now. He's standing by in Plainwell. Hi, Denny.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm glad this road topic has been up. You know, it's bad. I'm glad I can put my 3 cents in here today. And number one, like 94. It's just a moving parking lot of semis every day. I stay away from it as much as I can in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the trucks that have Canadian plates on traveling through there. And they're tearing that road up as much as we are. I think there should be a tariff on there. They should pay like on a toll road. If it's proven you're picking up product from Michigan or delivering, okay, you're exempt. But the ones that are just going through there to the shortcut, they should have to pay some money. And I hear a lot of people saying this, other truck drivers.
Well, but
okay.
I believe they do. They come into this country to buy fuel, too, because their fuel is less expensive here than it is in Canada. And so we do collect some road taxes from them.
Well, that's only fair that we do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Okay, now here's a very important point that everybody has been sidestepping. On a lot of television and radio shows, I hear about it. Accountability. I don't mind paying my fair share. If you remember back when Engler was in office, he wanted to raise the road tax. I think it was 6 cents a gallon or something.
Mm-hmm.
I voted for that. I thought maybe we got to pay more. You know, I want good roads. I voted for it. It was 26 or 27 days after it passed. He took $96 million out of that fund and give it to Detroit's failing busing industry. And I felt that was very unfair. We pledged to pay that money to improve our infrastructure. And I would like to see Mr. Snyder show us where the money has went in the last 10 years out of that. And I think they're not spending it just wisely. I think it goes in different directions. It's not a matter of, I'll pay more if that is needed, but don't take money out of there and give to Detroit or anyone else. It's for our roads and bridges.
Okay.
And check it out if you want. A lot of people don't know about it, don't remember it, but I do.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. I thought that was really misappropriated. And when Ms. Granholm was in office, we got a federal grant, and we improved, like, Westage ramps on 94. And she said, well, it'll create jobs. And I thought, well, cool if it does, but if it don't, we're going to get better roads. And I just, maybe we should take some of the money from all these casinos that we got popping up all over and put some money to the road commissions there. We have quality men, quality trucks, machinery. They do a nice job, I think. But they're starving. They need more money. I know personally some of the drivers in different counties, and those guys work hard for what money they get. And, I think that maybe technology is improving. Sure, we can take on some new forms of building roads. You know, there's always room for improvement, and I'm into that. And maybe some of it will cost more money. And if it does, if it's fairly, but I'd like to see where the money has went in the last 10 years. I'd like to see them figures being brought publicly. It's not a matter of dragging more money out of us. If it proves that they haven't been lawyering into it, okay, then maybe we need to give more. But I think we're going to find there's a lot of money going out of that, the road tax money that is being misappropriated.
Okay. Well, some interesting ideas there, Denny. It's certainly some things to think about. We're going to move on to some other callers here. Thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Tom has been waiting patiently on the line. Tom, thanks for waiting so long, and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Yes, I have made some observations as well, and I agree with a couple callers back where they were saying that it's going to be a long-term thing. It's not something that can be done overnight, and they have to be done pretty much one at a time. But they blame our bad roads on our harsh winters. Now, I've vacationed many times in the Upper Peninsula and talk about harsh winters, but their major roads up there are invariably in better shape than our major roads down here. Now, how do they do it? If they can do it, we can do it.
They have a lot less truck traffic, a lot less traffic altogether up there.
That's true, but we also have greater resources available, and they're blaming it not on the traffic; they're blaming it on the winters.
Well, that's true.
And I don't think that holds water, because our winters are less harsh here than they are up there, and their major roads are invariably better. In better condition than our major roads down here.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. We appreciate your phone call there. And, of course, one thing we like to do at this particular time of the discussion is, I guess, you know, we were talking a little bit about roads, mm-hmm. the effects that winter has on them, winter weather.
We'll find out if we're going to have any of those effects.
Yes. Yes, I'd love to find that out. And Bob has joined us to take care of just that.
Hi, Bob.
Hi there. We have had our share of that this season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But I think the one thing, and I saw something earlier today that was saying, you know, this could very well be the last time you'll see temperatures as cold as they were this morning. Is that going to pan out? Are we going to see warmer
weather? I believe so.
Okay.
I mean, we were between 5 and 10 below zero this morning. I don't think we'll see that again this season.
Ooh.
Say that again, Bob.
Yes.
I kind of like that.
With feeling.
I do not believe we'll see it as cold as 5 to 10 below zero again. For a temperature, not a wind chill, but for an actual temperature this season. Now, hopefully you won't come after me if 3 weeks from now we're predicting a low of 1 below zero or something like that.
I will.
But I don't believe it's going to be 5 to 10 below again, no.
Okay. That's good news there. You know, and we have all this. In fact, I think I heard somebody around the hallways here talking about next week. They're even talking about 50 degrees. Now, I know you probably won't go that far. But we're looking at warmer temperatures as we move along here, aren't we?
That we are. And first off, there's another in a series of clippers that will cross the area tomorrow and tomorrow night. From late tomorrow afternoon through tomorrow night, it's not so much tomorrow morning, I think the sun will be out for a while, but late tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, there'll be some snow at times, maybe an inch or so. The way things are going this season, that's not a big deal. There could be additional snow showers on Friday, probably less than an inch. And in terms of snow, I think I mentioned yesterday or the day before, there's a possibility of a storm that could bring snow or some sort of wintry mix, maybe about Monday. That's actually looking more like a warmer storm now. It might start as snow Sunday night, but that could actually change over to rain Monday afternoon. We've been talking all along about how mild it could get Thursday and Friday next week. As soon as Monday, it could be between 35 and 40.
Now, when it gets to that kind of temperature and you've got rain and that kind of thing, with all the snow we've got sitting around, just how quickly does this stuff melt?
35 to 40 makes it very slushy and sloppy, but generally doesn't cause a rapid snow melt and problems. You need a lot warmer than 35 to 40 for a few hours for that to happen. So that's not a concern for earlier in the week. But if you're looking along those lines, it could be a problem for later in the week because as of yesterday, yesterday made it 2 days in a row of seeing this trend of warmer weather on the long-range computer models. Today makes three in a row, and today these computer models are even more emphatic about it to the point where I'm not just going to suggest 40s. You mentioned just moments ago, maybe hitting 50. I'll do better than that. I think it goes above 50 by the end of next week. And accompanied by rain, Roger, you asked me yesterday how much rain would there be. Initially, it may be not much more than some light rain showers and drizzle. Maybe by Friday night and Saturday, speaking of next Saturday, maybe there's some heavier rain. I'd be concerned about that because that could lead to more substantial and rapid snow melt, and that could lead to flooding. Mm-hmm. We'll know more about that as next week unfolds. But definitely count on milder weather this next week, and especially by the end of the week, probably warmer than anything we have seen so far in 2014.
So if you have a drain in front of your house for the road, shoveling that out might be a good weekend activity is what I'm hearing if we get that warm.
Exactly. At some point between now and next week, you want to take care of that, particularly by the end of the week. Maybe as soon as Monday if we get a little rain, but that's probably light rain and it starts as snow, but it's at the end of the week when it's much warmer and there could be more of the way of rain, that'd be most concerned about clearing a path and getting the water a place to drain.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe even chipping out the drain in some cases.
Yes.
But looking at some warmer stuff, you said we're looking at a little snow, but certainly none of those big storms we dealt with over the last several weeks.
Nothing like down south.
No.
What is our word for the day, Bob?
Forgive me for going out of the box, but I'm actually referring to that storm because the word I've chosen is chaos. Just an incredible amount of ice and chaos over the deep southeast. There's some icing back to Arkansas, Louisiana, but the most severe icing is going to be running from eastern Mississippi through north central Georgia to parts of South Carolina to eastern North Carolina. And in north and west of there, very heavy snow, 6 inches or more around the Charlotte area. and into the foothills of western North Carolina, more than a foot of snow. And this storm is going to lead to blizzard conditions into the Northeast overnight and particularly tomorrow. Anyone that has any traveling to do anywhere to the east tomorrow from the southeast, where they'll be trying to clean out of this mess, into the Northeast all the way up to New England, it's going to be very difficult to get to where you intend to go, because there'll be not only delays but probably countless flights canceled.
Well, they were saying that we've already got over 200,000 people without power, and this storm is just getting started.
Yeah, exactly. It's frightening. I mean, we're talking about nearly a quarter of a million already.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, Bob, we appreciate you checking in and at least making us feel better about our weather.
That's right, Jerry.
Yeah, we like it here
now. Yeah.
Thanks,
so
Bob.
Bad.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Bob.
Bye-bye.
All right, Bob there from AccuWeather. And as we continue ahead with the program, lots to chat about. Of course, we were talking roads. We'll continue to do so and also get to a little bit of a discussion about Rand Paul.
He's been busy.
He really has been busy. And we'll chat about until exactly the things he's been saying lately as we continue the program straight ahead. Very disappointed. I'm not seeing the air guitar on this one. This one lends itself to that.
Been there, done that. I get excited when I hear something I haven't heard in a while. And
okay.
when we first started using that, that brought out the air guitar. So I'm
appealing to you on Abby's behalf, because you did promise.
Oh, well, so, we'll get to something that we'll...
I was doing a little drumming in here. I liked that song, so...
See? There you go.
Yeah.
See, it gets around, and it doesn't come here because I've accepted I have no rhythm. So, you just don't want to see me attempting it. It's not pretty. But lots has been attempted, of course, and we'll continue the whole the thing with lawmakers talking about roads. It's not going to get solved now. It's not going to get solved soon, because it's a big discussion to be able to say, all right, what do we do not only for now but down the line? And I think there is a lot of frustration as I hear people talk about 94 and the way that things were improved, that maybe the work wasn't done the right way to begin with. You know, maybe there's something different that needed to take place there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the callers, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which one, I'm thinking the legislature ought to get beyond just allocating money, but to sort of lay out what they're going to do with the money,
mm-hmm.
how they're going to use it. Specifically, what roads are going to be improved?
Mm-hmm,
Are we going to focus on the state trunk lines, or are we going to share the money with smaller governmental entities for local roads? I think we need to hear not just talk about budget allocations in vague suggestions, but to come up with a plan that you can sell to voters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I guess, if I had to just give you my two cents worth, just from traveling around the state, which I actually did extensively on my last time living in Michigan. We lived 7 years here, and I was all over the place,
mm-hmm.
on every kind of road you can imagine. And I think the big thing is take care of some of those major thoroughfares, the throughways. You've got I-75, certainly. You've got, 127 going down the center of the state. You've got mm-hmm. I-94. These are the roads you really need to spend some time on and say, all right, here's the roads that a lot of people use. We need to make sure that those are working the best they possibly can. Then you can start looking at roads like 23 on the other side of the state,
because
that needs some attention. We went up and down that one a lot. After that, boy, I don't know. I mean, there's problems, without a doubt, and I don't think there's any argument about that. But I think you take care of the big stuff, because the big stuff is how people get through the state and how commerce takes place.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly true. And not just the quality of the roads that exist, but do they have enough capacity mm-hmm. for what we're expecting them to do?
Mm-hmm.
A number of these big accidents where the crash went on for miles are because there's way too much traffic on the roads for the capacity they were designed to have.
Mm-hmm.
These are roads that were designed back in the 1950s,
mm-hmm.
and the world has changed a little.
Just a bit.
Yeah. And we've got to look at not only the quality of the roads, but do they have the capacity to support our business needs in the state
mm-hmm.
now?
Mm-hmm. Well, some good questions there all around. And, you know, I know some lawmakers do listen to the program every now and again. So I'm certain that that's something they'll keep in mind as they go along, you know, and what people have said about things, too. Because I think some of it, you've got to look at, all right, how do we, you know, not only how do we pay for this, but how do we get out of the mindset of saying, well, we're just going to fix this so that it's good for the next 5 years and maybe get to the point where, you know what, we're going to fix this so that it's good for the next 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where you kind of break through the whole thing of, well, we've always done it this way, into something else.
I once heard an engineer who was referring to exactly what you're talking about. And when we grind off just an inch of the asphalt and put an inch of asphalt back down, mm-hmm. he called that painting the roads. Because we're not dealing with the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see right out here in West Main, it hasn't been 5 years since they resurfaced the road, but all the bumps are back already because we didn't fix the problems underneath that were causing the bumps in the first place.
And things like that usually take a lot more time and,
yep, money.
We said it, lots more money.
Yeah.
Program continues next hour. We're going to be talking about Rand Paul. Among other things, we're also going to be talking about Clarence Thomas. Make sure you keep it right here.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.